What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.
The volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. I am honored to have this next guest, a guy who I got a bunch of respect for. I always talk about, you know, guys who got it out the mud, and I respect guys that got it out the mud, and it's not many guys that done got it out the mud like this next guest, maybe other than PJ Tucker. When you look at journeys through basketball and what guys had to go through to get to where they at today, no one has. Udonis Haslam and PJ Tucker. And what I'm speaking of is guys who, you know, you go through college basketball and real players. And like great players, and then have to go overseas and take that journey and make their way back to the NBA. I can't imagine what that's like. And I like to think that I'm a mentally tough guy, but when you're talking toughness, you can't not speak of this guy. When you're talking defense, you can't not speak of this guy. And when you're talking playoffs, you can't not speak to this guy. Honored to have this next guest, Pat Bev. What's up, my brother?
Dre, love, gang. Thanks for having me. I appreciate to be one of your guests on your show, brother. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it, man. I'm honored to have you on as a guest. You know, we always two guys that go at it on the court, you know, and yet, you know, it's a bunch of respect. But I really want to start off and just talking about your journey. You know, you coming through West Side of Chicago, which we all know is not an easy upbringing, you know, and making it through that and averaging 37 and a half points a game in high school, man. Just talk to me about your journey through Chicago first.
So, Chicago, mother raised me. A lot of strong women raised me. And usually that's the upbringing in the Midwest. You know, you kind of familiar with that. Moms being the background. So, you know, obviously growing up, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in, you know, it was always, you know, if I was on the corner, mom comes drive down, stay your ass off that corner, you know. So growing up, the upbringing was already like, you know, the rules were set in front of you already. You know what I'm saying? Even before I even knew NBA or anything, you know. So to go through it, you know, we speed up. I grew up in a household. My grandma, she adopted 11 kids. I was the only child. And the guy who started me playing basketball, my older cousin, started me playing basketball. He was the best kid in the hood at the time. I was the worst. I always got picked last. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't shoot. My form wasn't right, you know. So, but you know, growing up, like, I just kept going. I kept battling. I stayed at the gym. You know, when my cousins didn't want to go to the gym during the snow, I was there with my shovel, shoveling up. But, you know, to fast forward all that, that kind of bring me to, you know, the upbringing in Chicago. You know, I led the state in scoring, co-player of the year with Jonathan Shire. You know, so this mud story, this ain't a story that's just, you know, from, I started from the mud even at the park, you know. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just fortunate to be in a situation, man, people able to kind of listen to me a little bit. My word holds a lot of value now. And man, you know, I'm just riding the wave with it.
I respect that, bro. And you leave Chicago, you go to Arkansas, and you didn't play all 4 years at Arkansas. You end up leaving early and actually going overseas. Take me on that journey through Arkansas with you.
Okay, Arkansas, wanted to get away from Chicago. I had Michigan and Arkansas. Yeah, you would have been hyped. I would have went to Michigan. But look, I'm sorry. I mean, rewind that. I told you this a while ago. When I was in high school, we came down there and played y'all. I mean, I don't know who might have the film of that tape, but we came down there and played y'all in high school. But college, went to Arkansas. I mean, played my ass off, freshman of the year, newcomer of the year, you know, all SEC. I was first All-American, me and Steph Curry on the same team. I was fortunate to get invited to the USA team. Again, me and Steph Curry on the same team throughout this process. I'm going through Steve Nash camp, Paul Pierce camp, LeBron camp. Again, me and Steph Curry roommates, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? So, so like the, you know, like the story was, you know, it's a good one. You know, unfortunate situations happened in college, plagiarism, stuff like that. I got suspended. I chose to leave, and go overseas. My first team was, second division in Ukraine.
Wow. Second division in Ukraine. For all you listeners out there that don't understand what this man just said, he just said second division of Ukraine. Now, let me tell you something. The first division of Ukraine probably isn't even a top five league in Europe. And this man who everybody love to hate, who I've had my battles with this man piss me off to, it seems to have a way of getting under everyone's skin. Is now doing what he's doing after playing in the second division of Ukraine. I'll tell you something interesting, and I applaud you, and like I just said, PJ, UD, on your path. I walked into my assistant coach office when I was a senior in college, and I said to him, I said, D, I think this is my last year playing basketball. And he said, what? And I'm like, nah, D, this is my last year playing, bro. I can't go overseas, bro. I ain't built for that. I don't know if I can handle that. That's too far away from home for me. Like, I can't do that. And he started laughing at me like, man, shut up. You'll get drafted. But, like, people don't understand that grind and going overseas, you leaving your family for 9 to 10 months. Ukraine is probably cold. You in second division, probably busing places. Talk to us about being on a second division team all the way in Ukraine.
Okay, so second division, Ukraine. I had a son real early in college, early in my freshman year. My sophomore year, I just had my daughter. So at the time I was getting dismissed out of school, my daughter's just been born. So at the time I'm out of school. I got two kids. I'm out of school. I don't have a job. I get kicked out in July. The draft is in June. That just passed up. I'm meeting with coaches. Shout out to Nick Nurse. He was the first coach I met with, Iowa Energy. I don't get a job until October, November. So I'm just in Chicago, and you know, you're a product of your environment, blah, 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 to get by, whatever. And then I get a call, Ukraine. I'm super excited. You talking about, Dre, you talking about 21-hour bus rides, gang. You're talking about 23-hour train ride. You're talking about washing your own jersey. You're talking about where you're playing at is a YMCA. you know, like the oldest guy on my team, like his son was my age, you know, like absolutely. So my experience was very different. I came over there with my mom. You know, we didn't, I think they gave me $4,000 in cash. And we bought some groceries with it, come home, plug in a PlayStation, all the lights go out, you know? So like, I went through the whole thing.
That's absolutely insane, man. Like I said, brother, I take my hat off to you because I just don't know if I could handle that, man.
Yeah, you could do it. Yeah, you could do it. You're the few people that could do it.
And so you did that. Obviously, you elevated yourself. But how much longer did you stay overseas before you then made your way back? And I actually played against you your first year with the Rockets.
Yeah. So I go Ukraine. I get drafted out of Ukraine. Lakers draft me, trade me to the Heat. I go summer league Heat. I didn't feel like I knew how to run a point yet. I didn't think my gang was ready yet. I go to Greece. I play for the biggest team at the time, Olympiakos. Me, Josh Childress, Von Wafer, Linus Clay's probably one of the best teams put together on paper. We go to EuroLeague championships. We lose to Ricky Rubio of Barcelona. I'm the youngest African American to ever play in EuroLeague. You know, again. And so with the story with that, I go to EuroLeague. I had to make the team.
Wow.
I had to make the team. I made the team. I played the first game, didn't play the rest of the season. We're losing by 13 at half in the EuroLeague championship. Coach comes in, Pat, you start. Couldn't make this up. I couldn't make this up. He always told me that, man, I've always seen some of you, Pat. You're going to be better than everyone on this team. Just trust me. I trust the process. I rode the bench the whole year. Any regular American, they was going to take their ass back home.
Absolutely.
Two kids, 100%. You know, stayed there, worked on my game, came back to the Heat, boom, signed my first NBA contract. I'm excited. I'm playing with LeBron James. I'm playing with D. Wade. I'm playing with Chris Bosh. I'm playing with Mike Miller. I'm excited. I got Carlos Arroyo, Mario Chalmers in front of me. I'm thinking in my head, 2 years, I can catch them. You know, like the competition within it. Mike Miller gets hurt. Think he hurts his thumb guarding LeBron in practice. I'm this man on the totem pole. I got to go back overseas, unfortunately. I had to go back to Russia. And you know my mindset at the time. I'm a prideful young man. Fuck the NBA, man. They don't want me. I just set on my career in Russia. I signed one of the biggest contracts in Russia. Played there a year. Next following year, I came to the NBA.
It's crazy, and I'm sure Jackson will find this clip. The Rockets, Pat Bev comes to the Rockets. First year, we're playing against the Rockets, and they're about to break a three-point record. Pat catches the ball in the corner, and he's about to tee off the shot, and I come out of nowhere, foul the shit out of Pat Bev. And now, the way I foul him, and this is where everybody should have knew, bro, a little fucked up. The way I foul him, most people would get up upset. Actually, I'll tell you what most people would get up like. Most people would get up and act like they upset, act like they're going to fight, and act like they're going to do all that. He hopped up like, shit, good foul, and go to the free throw line and shoot the ball. And I'm like, all right, so for those of y'all out there that don't know how to evaluate talent, there's a little key for y'all to you know when you got another sick one when they get fired like that. They just hop up. You know, Joe D told me a story before, man. Joe D told me a story about Dennis Rodman. And he said Rick Mahorn laid Dennis Rodman ass out. He said Dennis Rodman got up and said, now we're playing some basketball and walk to the free throw line. I couldn't believe it, but that's what that moment reminded me of. And I've been getting them stories from Jody's for years. And when you did that, I'm like, oh, cuz a little different out here.
But and people don't understand that when that happened though, Dre, people don't see, and I can't wait till people hear this. This is a profound story. Like, so when that happened, me and Dre, we began our own little personal beef. From that game, you know, and we were beefing for like 4 or 5 years to a point where it was like we see each other in chapel. I don't know what to say. He don't know what to say. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. Okay, it's cool today, I guess. You know, like, and the older we got in the NBA, it's crazy that we sitting here right now, man. Like, God is good, bro.
Absolutely. Yes, he is. The reality is, I think as two black men, and it's a totally different thing, but as two black men, we tend to keep that on, you know, and keep that going.
That's so
you know
true.
What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that we were able to get past that. But also, from a total basketball standpoint, you or I ain't supposed to still be here.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
Like, we're not supposed to be here anymore. And so the fact that you thriving and doing what you're doing, I've been able to do what I do, bro. I don't take this for granted at all. And I know, and I tell people all the time, you don't take this for granted even more than I do.
No,
and
no.
The reason I say that and what I'm getting at here is you play, like, I can admit, I have some nights I come out and I just can't find it. I don't feel like there's ever a game where you can't find it. And mm-hmm. and to me, as someone who's known for playing hard, they're players hard as hell, brother, walk me through that. Because even to me, I just can't understand that. It's 82 games. You
yeah.
play every game you possibly can, and you find it every night. Like walk me through what's getting you going every single night you go out there.
So it started, like we've had conversation before, so it started at the simplest thing of being the last kid picked. Then that goes from high school to being, you know, Sharon Collins and Jonathan Shire being ahead yep. of me, you know? And that goes from college to, man, Mario Chalmers and Carlos Arroyo, how the fuck they picked them over me, you know? And it was, and it's all that animosity. It's all that shit built on me, on top of me to a point when I was like, you know what? Like, man, I remember I can listen to the American flag over there 5 years in a row. Like, I remember, like, I fans were booing me. I mean, they still boo me, but like fans were throwing stuff at me. It wasn't even like more of a hate thing. So when I get to the NBA, it's like, I'm not taking this for granted, man. I can't take this for granted. Every night I step out there, I'm giving it my all. So I might get hurt some years. It's just the way I play, put my body on the line, all that. But man, a guy brought me this far, man. I can't let him down. I got to go hard, you know? And that's just always been my mentality. Like, just go hard, not from like a selfish part, not from like I want the money, like not from any of that, just the point, like I'm in the NBA, I'm playing with the best of them. I want to be prepared every single night to go out there and be successful. And like, and obviously I lose some battles, and with that mindset, I won a lot of battles too, you know? So like—
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
That's a fact. And I think I spoke about this on this podcast during the finals. Some guys get booed, and they get booed for several reasons. Some guys get booed because they quit. Some guys get booed because, you know, for whatever reason. And some guys get booed, and it's a badge of honor. And you yeah. are one of those guys that you get booed, it's a badge of honor. Because, and I can admit this, like, I was once one guy that didn't believe, like, in everything you did. I respected your grind, but I didn't see it. Like, and I saw the work ethic and I saw all of that, but it just didn't make sense to me until I really had to dive in. Like, but he do this every single night, like every night. Like, you know, sometimes you get caught up and you think like it's antics, it's this, it's that, but you can't keep antics up every single night. You can't do that, you know? And so
since I got to the league, right.
Like you, I honestly, truly say that. You made me a believer. You know what I'm saying? I can't sit here in your face and say I was always a believer. You made me a believer. Like, you've made everybody believers, and I got a lot of respect for that. You've done something, and I want you to talk to me about this. You've done something that I was on course of doing, and then I lost it. And you've went to the playoffs on every single team that you've been on. And that's no coincidence, because the way you bring it every single night, that's going to like lead to a bunch of wins, and then guys pick it up when they see that energy. But talk to me about just getting to the playoffs every single year. Like, you know, there's all-time greats. You play with arguably the greatest player to ever play. Didn't make the playoffs all year. I play with one of the greatest players to ever play. Didn't make the playoffs every year. Talk to me about getting back there every single year. You've had injuries certain years, and you're still coaching on the sideline and doing all that to get your teams there. Just talk to me about that mindset going in every year, like, I'm getting there.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
So if, when I first came to the league with the Rockets, we were just really talented. I was out there. We were the eighth seed at the time, but we were just young, really talented, young James Harden, Jaylen, Chandler Parsons. So my first year with the playoffs, obviously, it's my first year. I don't understand the grind. I just know that any game I play, we're supposed to win. And, like, if I lose, I'm angry. But then I get on the bus, this guy's not angry, and this guy's on his phone, and this guy's talking to – so I'm like, okay, maybe losing. Is losing okay? Nah, I'm – fuck that. Fuck that. Losing is not okay. I will not accept that. So, you know, after 4 or 5 years, get into the playoffs, Western Conference Finals with the Rockets, you know, I go to the Clippers – And I get put in a trade, you know, me, Lou, Trez, Sam Decker, all the picks for Chris Paul. I kind of looked at my, like, man, I know it wasn't just me, but, like, you know, I got traded for, like, Chris Paul. Like, that's a big fucking deal. Like
absolutely. Okay,
I hold a little bit of value, you know? And when I got to the Clippers, I just wanted to, like, you know, I just wanted to kind of keep it going, you know? Some years my, you know, like some years my attitude, you know, I wasn't coming in with the best attitude in the training camp. You know, some years, obviously, because I'm young, I don't, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know how to, you know, really be a professional. I really haven't had really good bets. So I'm really kind of learning everything on the go, you know. But man, when it all clicked, I don't know, maybe my, you know, third year and Clippers. I mean, this is maybe 4 years ago. And it all clicked. It all clicked. The work ethic, the ability to voice what I have to say, the ability to coach. The game is slowing down. Like, you know, I've always had great coaches growing up, but like now the game is in slow motion. Like I see things defensively that even coaches don't see, you know, and I became like addicted to it, Dre. Like I became addicted to it. Like I wanted to get better. I wanted to find ways to get better. I wasn't a good pick and roll player. I wanted to get better at that. I wanted a good 3-point shooter. Okay, cool. I wanted to keep my percentages up. Okay, stay your ass in the corner then. Like, that's your shot. Stay in the corner. Say less. Like, I began to find ways to, like, be one of the top, like, professionals.
Yes.
In the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. On and off the court. Like, no DUIs, no domestics, no none of that funny shit, no drinking and driving. Like, so my brand has always been solid, but, you know, with the antics, people didn't know who I am. So, but when you do it for so long, like you say, people are like, damn, that's, and maybe that's just really him. Like, you know, and from there, it's just the addiction just grew and grew. And I just, you know, now everything I do, I see things slow motion. I see things other people don't see. I see things coaches don't see. Like, and I just been, it's been fun now, you know, like it went from like hard, like, damn, I got to grind to, like, it's fun now. Like, it's so much fun now, you know? So, I mean, you know that.
No, for sure.
You know that the best, so.
I think when that game starts to slow down for you and you can see plays, two steps ahead of these plays before they happen, it's fun as hell. Because for me personally, I feel like I going into game, I'm like, I'm going to fuck their whole offense up. Like, no problem. Like, I'm about to destroy their whole offense. I know what they're trying to get to. I know what he's trying to do. I'm about to mess their whole offense up. And that's you every night. Like, you got to do something else.
Got to. You got to. And my thing is, and I tell everybody this, like, it's no one in the game right now that impacts, like, winning the way you do on your level and the way I do on my level. Obviously, I'm not a champion, so I can't even speak to that caliber. But you don't have to be a champion to be a winner.
That's a
you
fact.
Understand what I'm, you, under, you understand that what I'm saying? That is a fact. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so, like, it, you know, my time maybe hasn't come yet, but, like, all those same ingredients involve the same thing, you know? So when it comes to do. impacting a game, like, that shit's fun now. Nah, because he's out of control. I'm going to just take a charge on him. He's going to get frustrated. I'm going to get under his skin. Okay, I'm going to foul the shit out of him. Okay, Tech, he's out the game. All right, cool. That's cool. Next, who I got next? Okay, coach. All right, I'm going to talk shit to the coach. Get him a little rattle, that bullshit-ass system he's running. Oh, okay, the delay shit don't work. Put pressure on the big right here. Force him to pick. Yeah. Okay, got the coach arguing with me. I'm cool now. I'm good. My job here is done. This, my stars, pressure's off y'all. They all looking at me. Y'all make y'all free throws when you need to. Y'all make y'all 3-pointers when you need to. I got it. Y'all good. You know, and it's, and it's, you know, and it's, that's how it is.
Hey, I hope to God that y'all understood what this man just said. I hope y'all understood what this man just did. Because that right there is impressive. That right there is why you are who you are. That right there is why you're in the playoffs every year. Because all of those things, people don't understand those things. Like, and for those of you that couldn't quite understand, he said, okay, I'm going to take this man out of the game. Okay, I know he's a little out of control. I'm going to take a charge on him. I'm on his skin. Let me go get this next guy. Up, just got him. He got a tech. All right. Dang, oh, I got him another one. He out the game. Let me get to this coach. Hey, your system is awful. Now he rattled. He talking to me. He not thinking no more about the system he actually running. Do y'all understand what this man just did? That is absolutely insane, bro. And I respect it. I get it. I love it. I appreciate it. That right there, like, that is being a master at what you do. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think so many people get caught into, like, oh, man, he don't score. He don't do this. He don't do that. And I saw, shout out to Rico Hines, OG Rico.
Yeah. Rico.
I saw you were speaking. Speaking on Rico, one thing I respect about Rico is when guys come in the gym, Rico don't want to hear himself talk. Rico want to hear the guys talk that he's seen doing it, that he respect. And I love and I respect that, because you get, number one, he's going to require that you play great. Basketball, that's number one. But then you get, like, real game. And Rico give good game, too. Like, great game. Like,
yeah.
OG. But when you're getting game from guys that's doing it currently, that's doing it right now, that's been doing it for a long time, with some of these younger guys that be in that gym, it rings differently. And I saw your speech, and it was very similar to something that I had said there. And you were just talking about, like, different roles and what guys got to do in the league. And I respect that. And just like, talk to me about being a master in your role, because people can't quite understand that. And because of that, they don't understand the value that one is bringing. So just talk to me about being a master as you are in your role.
So I was 30 in high school. Like, I go to college, they bring me in, put the ball in the hole. I go overseas to have the same traits that I had in college and high school in the U.S., you know, the Olympic game team, put the ball in the hole. That's always been my thing, is put the ball in a hole, Pat. Get to the paint, get to the free throw line, put the ball in the hole. Do you? We're talking about MVPs and Euro Cup, like, put the ball in the hole. I had to come here and learn the whole fucking new skill, Dre. I didn't play no fucking defense. That's like Steph Curry being a shooter and coming to the league and being the best defensive player in the world.
That's a fact.
I had to learn a whole new trait and had to master that trait. In order for me to be successful, I had to master a trait that I didn't know zero, like very little about. So, okay, cool. I bet. No one's picking up 94 feet. Okay, I'm gonna pick up 94 feet. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna take that little, I'm gonna take that with me, Mr. 94 feet. But now if I do pick up, I have to, whatever I want that my title to be, I have to back that up. In order to back that up, I need something solid. What's solid? Awards. Awards that come from the NBA, not just what I think, what other people think. And okay, cool. Okay, first team got a couple second teams. Okay, Kawhi, you got defensive player. Yeah, I don't really know nobody that I can just call off my phone and get defense. What do I need to do? Ooh, you need to block more shots, man. Okay. And take more charges. Okay. Then last year, career high steals, top 10 charges, led number one guard block shots. Don't make a fucking team, Dre. Now I'm angry. You know what I'm saying? But it comes with it. Okay, go on. That's the whole beauty of it. Let's start this shit. Let's start it from the beginning. Let's get better. Let's wrap it all up. That didn't work. Scratch that. Scratch you. That training shit I did with them hamstrings. Fuck that. Let's work on the quads today. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, to get better, bro. We got to get better because we got to make a team. That's the only way I can solidify. I'm trying to piece together ways of, you know, of trying to individually getting better. I don't know if that's my body. I don't know if that's my mind. So, Dre, I just go through a phase 1 year. I just start looking at all coaches, bro. I start looking at all the coaches who came on the top. All the coaches who came on the Mike Budenholzer system. I start looking at all the coaches, what system they running, where they at now. If an offense is driving the ball, where's the ball getting driven from the most of the time? I'm getting my numbers. Okay, slot drives. Okay, I can take advantage there. I can be in charge lanes. Okay, cool. I got the respect around the league. They let me fuck a foul. I can knock the shit out of people. They won't call it, especially the young guys. I got to watch. I do Steph though because they might try to kick me out. Then I went through a whole phase of like, okay, like with tendencies. So I have all my trainers like, man, fuck. Okay, cool. Like, fuck the skill this summer. I need to know. I need to spend a year of just knowing players. I was overseas, so I didn't play against these guys in college. I didn't know how such and such moved off screens or how such and such moved. I just knew. Okay, give me tendencies. So I spent one summer, bro, weight room. Conditioning and film study, not even basketball skill. I had to sacrifice a year of my basketball skill because I understand, like, okay, that shit go come. I'm going to get up all the attempts, all the shots. That shit's go come. I got to stay in this league. In order for me to stay in this league, I got to pick up 94. I got to cause havoc. I got to know what's going on, and I have to know tendencies. I have to know tendencies better than my coaching staff. So I'm going through different plays and I'm going through different people. Okay, Steph Curry, obviously, man, I can't touch him like I want to. All right, cool. Watch that left hand, you know, kind of send him left because he don't really like that. Okay, Clay, I got to stay down on him. You know, I'm facing Dame. Okay, he might pull deep, but I'm living with that shit. That really can't beat me consistently. Not all game. And if he does, then fuck, you got me tonight. You know what I'm saying? Okay, KD. Okay, cool. He's never really seen a player like me guard him. Not a small one, so fuck it. I'm going to just take his legs up on him. I'm going to put my fucking back on his fucking hamstrings every fucking play until it's too much. I'm going to keep going and say either I get kicked out or it's too much for him, Dre. I got to get it, bro. I have to get it, Dre. I do, because ain't nobody going to go get it for Pat Bev. Like, I got to go get it on my own. And that's became my, you know, add that to the addiction that I have to want to win now. Like, it's a sick combination, bro. It really is.
And speaking of the awards, you talked about the awards. You know, you got first team, which, by the way, Pat Bev, he do first team. A lot of respect for Pat Bev, and I'm going to shout out somebody who I know he got a lot of respect for from the same city, Tony Allen. Talk to me about Tony Allen and his path through the league, and what impact did that have on you coming from the same city?
So T.A., you got to understand, T.A., Will Bynum, these are like the godfathers in Chicago. You Absolutely. Understand? Obviously, you have the Antoine Walkers, but these guys are way a little older than me. You know, I'm talking about games that I actually went to as a seventh grader looking like, I can't wait to play in this game. You know, like that. So when I got in touch with Will Bynum, he kind of gave me the blueprint. Like, you know, he was playing with Detroit at the time. Everyone plays offense. I'm gonna get you in touch with somebody, Pat. Y'all are literally twins. Y'all the same person. You need to talk to him. Okay, what's his name? Tony Allen. I'm overseas, so I'm like, hell yeah, Tony. Like, hell yeah. Like, hell yeah, I want to talk to T.A. I talked to T.A., and he gave me, like, raw shit, like, so how's your grip strength? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you do fingertip push-ups? Like, I'm,
no. Like, how's your lunge? Like, everything was about body, body, strength, strength, strength. Instantly, I hang up the phone. I can't lie to you, bro. I hang up the phone. I go right to the weight room. I think I blank out in that bitch. I'm in that bitch lifting like 3 hours straight. You feel me? I got to do what Tony Allen did. So now I'm seeing T.A. He doing his thing. Memphis, he playing y'all. He on the ground. He yelling the first team. Oh, my God. Like, the impact he had with it. Like, okay, T.A., you from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. You the big homie. Like, can I get that? Just let me get that. You feel me? I know you on your way out. I ain't gonna do wrong by it. I'm gonna do right about it. Absolutely. I ain't gonna get no funny trouble. I'm gonna do right by it. He, man, all respect, take it. You gotta, you know, and that's just always been my thing. You know, I always feel like I'm first thing, no matter what, no matter what.
And you have that type of impact. You know what I'm saying? It's obviously a lot of people that vote on these things that,
yeah,
you know, that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story.
Right. You know, but you have that type of impact. And I think the guys that you're guarding, and the guys that got to see you every night, they feel that way.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? And the coaching
staff. Absolutely. Facts. You know, you got to be accounted for in a major way. Don't bring him up. Send him back there. Let's try to bring this guy up.
Right.
Absolutely. No, that's a fact. But, and speaking of defensive guys, Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year, first guard since Gary Payton. What does that do for your psyche? Does that make you say, okay, now I can break through because I should have been in that conversation anyway? Or do you feel like that's a one-time thing where it's like, all right, let's check this box again, but it's not really possible for guards? Because like yourself, like Tony Allen, it's crazy that Tony Allen never won a Defensive Player of the Year award. You talk to anybody who was anybody, and most guys, Kobe, Steph, Clay, you talk to these guys, and most guys talk about Tony Allen's defense and like the defense that he played for years. I had the opportunity to witness him completely take us out of our offense. Like, do you think that opens doors, or do you think that's kind of a check the box thing and goes back to the bigs?
So, you know, after when I seen the Marcus Smart thing, part of me was pissed the fuck off, Dre. I ain't gonna lie, bro. And I'd be a fool not to sit from a competitor standpoint. I'd be a cap sitting on here telling you I wasn't pissed off when that happened. Not from like, I don't want him to get it. From like, damn, I'm happy a guard got it. But damn, I've been sitting right here. Like, I've been sitting right here for years. But I respect it. A guard got it, you know? So now I'm like, okay, what do I have to do now? Do I have to block more shots? Do I have to, okay, fuck that, Pat. You got to win more. Mm-hmm. You got to win more. Okay, you got to win more, and you got to be more healthy. Like, fuck playing 65 games. Fuck it, maybe I just got to play the whole 82, Pat. Like, okay, cool. So what does that mean now for the summertime? Okay, maybe lift, a lot more rest now. You know, so like, again, changing it, molding it, like forming it, trying to make it fit, trying to make it work, trying to, okay, do you guys see me without, hey, look at me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
absolutely.
Do you see the work instead of, like, don't hear my voice, look at the work, you know? And that's right. And that's kind of be my thing. But is it a one-time thing? I don't know. I hope not. Like, you know, I hope not. Is it fair? You got, you know, 6'9 guys, you know, the Rudy Gobert's of the league, you know. I mean, do they, defensively, yeah, the numbers are there, but it's people like, you know, like, again, that's another conversation, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, so, like, it's, you know, I just wanted to be consistent, whatever the voting is, because it was a year I felt like you should have been a Defensive Player of the Year, and it was, man, how he only make first team, like, very interesting, but noted, okay, you know, so that's the kind of thing I'm flowing with. Is it, I need to be better in the media? Do I need to handle them nicer? I'm not going to, you know, down myself to make another person happy just to get an award, though. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to do that. So what's the balance? Do I need to be nicer to the media? Do I need to, you know, because, you know, I'm not really a guy that's, you know, hey, how are you doing? I'm not the first name basis guy, because when I was out there in Chicago on that block, wasn't nobody checking on Pat Bev. So I don't feel a need to make sure you get away from my locker, motherfucker. I got some shit to do. Like, school, you know, like you're really in my way. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's been my whole thing, you know, and man, is it awards or is it respect, Pat? Like, did you come in here for awards, or did you come here with respect? Like, if I can leave in a game and I got one of these top dudes, Dame or Steph, and they never admit it in, you know, during their career, but when they done, they say, man, Pat Bev gave me problems. that's better than any award I can get, Dre. I ain't gonna lie to you.
That's a fact. The respect of your peers goes way further than anybody else's respect. That's a fact.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna just live on that.
Absolutely. As you should, because that's what everybody gonna remember. You know what I'm saying? And that's what ultimately drives us, you know?
All right.
So, and speaking of me, by the way, I just read something, and you just hinted at it. I just read something like a week or two ago where the media is coming back in the locker room. as someone who is a part of the media, yourself included in that, which we're about to get to, but I think that's absolutely ridiculous because nothing gets done before the game. Like, I'm just be honest with you. I'm not talking to anybody before no game. I don't have anything to talk about. So you don't have interviews taking place. So it's essentially just eavesdropping. People come stand in the locker room, look around. And it's a waste of time. And quite frankly, it bothers me because our locker room should be our sanctuary. You know, that should be, you know, our place. You know, everybody speaks on mental health and all of these things. That should be a place of peace. That should be a place where you can go and you can settle down. All of the stuff going on, I need to go there and just chill out for a second. They have to leave with this amount of time on the clock, because the reality is, by the time that time on the clock comes, it's actually my time to leave the locker room,
right,
to go to chapel, to go do my lift, to go do my shooting, to get my core stuff in, tape. It's time to leave the locker room then. So you never really get a time to have peace in the locker room.
Right.
And I think that should be, like, that's what that place is. It's your sanctuary. Like, no one can just walk in somebody's office and sit there when they want to and listen. But in our locker room, you could just come in there and sit there. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Dre, I ain't gonna lie, this game is it's real. And whatever the inside game is, but outside, it's so drama oriented. Yes. It's so he say, she say, it's so, oh, this person said this person. And I think NBA loves that. So allowing media comes in, you know, you might get some story that you might not just get on a media out. And I think that's the, you know, that's the thing they trying to get and run from it and, you know, and take it away from. So, you know, how that goes.
Facts. It do get a bit soap opera-ish at times.
Yeah.
it does get a bit that way at times. But, you know, and speaking of the media and the new media, you know, I've been saying that and, you know, I spoke about it on this podcast and just watching you go up there on First Take and watching you on Get Up and seeing you start your media journey. And I'm, like I said, I'll be the first to say it was a pleasure for me to watch. You were very knowledgeable, which I think is beautiful. I'm not going to do you the disrespect and say you spoke well, as if that's not expected. You know, I hate when people tell me, oh, man, you speak well. What, am I supposed to fucking speak bad? Like, how am I supposed to sound like a fucking idiot? And so I'm not going to give you the you spoke well, but you were very knowledgeable. You were certain in what you wanted to say. And you didn't back down from no bump. And I don't think people understand what it's like going up there and sitting next to Stephen A. Stephen A is great. Like,
no.
What, like he is the elite. Best.
Elite. Like,
absolutely elite at, like, he is the best at what he does. He is the absolute best. And I don't think people understand what it takes for you to go sit up there, listen to one of his rants, keep your train of thought, because he may say something in the first 5 to 10 seconds that you want to respond to, but he may go on for 2 minutes. And you have to hold your train of thought for the rest of that time while he says 7 other things that you want to respond to. And then you have to respond back, not stumble over yourself, know exactly what you're talking about. If for 1 second you think you're going to say, And actually, he gonna come right back in and destroy what you were saying. So I don't think people really understands the pressure of that. And then actually being able to go up there and do it like you did. But what made you want to start your media journey right now? And where do you plan on taking it? It's a three-part question, and I know you'll roll with it. And then thirdly, what was that like going up there with a GOAT? You know, we always talk about playing against GOATs. You playing with arguably the GOAT now. Like, what was that like going up there and facing the GOAT every single day you went up there?
So I knew I was always good with words. Like, I was always witty. Like, I'm quick on my feet. You know what I'm saying? You say two, I say, you know, four. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm real quick. I just, with the media, especially the new media, your facts have to be on point and timely facts, not something that happened. Timely facts that you can, hey, yeah, you said that, but that's very interesting to me because you just said this. So I'm trying to see how this compares to what you just say, because if they don't equal up to me, so help me understand so I can be better, you know? And it came sarcastically, which opened the doors to everything, you know? Like, and I had fun with it. Like, you know, I'm always tell the truth, but the person I am on the media and the person I am in my regular life is the person that I am on a basketball court. So it's not like I'm two different people. Like, if I say he's a cone, he's a bum, like, I'm gonna say that to your face. Like, I'm not gonna, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, it ain't Aaron Gordon, like, you're a 2K player. Like, ain't no disrespect to 2K, but you're a 2K, you ain't no, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't have a problem saying that, because when we play Denver Nuggets, I'm gonna say the same thing to him in his face, you know, whether Mike is there or not. So, far as being nervous about saying things wasn't an issue. But going up there with Stephen A, it was like, I don't think people understand, like, his vocabulary. Like, it's
insane. My goodness. Bro, vocabulary. Dude, a thesaurus, a dictionary, an encyclopedia. Dude, it's all of that.
All of that. And yeah. He comes up and he's so fresh. And people don't understand, like, he's an older guy. Like, so for him to still be able to say a word and deliver a message, and anybody on any age level can, like, understand it, grasp it, and have knowledge about that is GOAT status, bro. Absolutely. It really is.
Yes,
it really is.
That's
so, like, to go up there, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not gonna go up there. Like, I'm just this. I'm gonna ask questions. I'm gonna, you know, text the night before. I'm prepared. Dre, I got my notes out. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to watch the playoffs, but fuck it, man. I'll watch this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my notes out. So I want to come prepared, because I don't want to disrespect Stephen A. Smith.
That's
because he's gonna test me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's gonna test me. You know,
now you in his playground. See, right. We always, you know, we all call him out when he gets to talking hoop. You know what I'm saying? And he know his stuff, but I would never believe that Stephen A know basketball better than me, just like you. Like, this is what we do. This is what we eat, breathe, live. This is what we do. But you go up there now, you in his battlefield. You better be ready to go.
Every time, too. And he go test you. And he go cut you off. And he go talk, like you said. He go throw a little bit out there in the beginning, let up off of it. 2 minutes later, come back to it. And you sitting there, you can't be sitting there like, right past you next. He can't do it. Out the way. Yep. Now you looking crazy on TV.
Absolutely.
Nah, I'm going to control my narrative. Stephen A, I said this. I'm staying with this. This is my team. This is my prediction. I remember when I was up there, everybody talking about, man, Draymond, I say, man, y'all need to relax, man. This man knows exactly what he's doing, man.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with y'all? You think this team has came all the way to the championship to fucking lose? Like, they're battle-tested, battle-proven, with and without KD. Like, man, y'all tripping. Now everybody's surprised. Oh, Pat, you were right about Draymond. He was going, nah, I'm a basketball player. Like, obviously, like, Dre knows what's going on. Okay, cool. Let me get that attention. All right, Steph, y'all cool now? All right, cool. Now it's on. Let's hoop now.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's just chess game, man. This shit ain't checkers, man. Like
that part.
It ain't, you know? So, like, and going up there with Stephen A. Smith was a vibe, man. And like, he's one of the few guys that, like, he helps you. He's not here to, like, step on you or, like, you feel me? He gonna let you know in the door, yeah, this still my shit. You know what I'm saying? With that respect. But, like, he helps you. He ain't here to, like, hold information from you or, like, tip, like, let you step in some shit and then like, oh man, watch you going like, nah, he gonna warn you everything that's to come. And you got to applaud a brother like that, especially African-American brother like that, straight up.
That's a fact. I love that brother, man. He helps me. He'll send me text messages. If he see me do something well, he'll call me. If he see me do something wrong, he'll call me. And I always tell people quick to ask about Stephen A. And I always tell people, I say, man, that's a real guy. Like, you know, you see him go to work and you like, oh, he this, he that. I'm telling you, that's a real guy. And he cares and he helps and he's not insecure. He's willing to put his neck out on the line for you if it costs for him to put his neck out on the line. But I got a lot of respect and appreciation for him because, like you just said, this is a business where, man, everybody after everything, and yet he's so secure in who he is and what he brings that he's not afraid to help. And that's not a regular thing for most people. And I'll tell you, it was something that I did. And I wanted to see.
Hey, Dre, you gonna hate me, bro. I gotta go catch this bus. We in Vegas, bro. I'm so sorry, gang.
Oh, all good, my dog. Let me ask you one more question.
Talk to me.
One more question, real quick.
Yeah.
What did it do for you when Russ was at your press conference when you got introduced?
Oh no. When Russ came through like that, bro. Like when he came through like that, that was like. It felt like a homie that I didn't know I had. It felt like, cause you know, like when it comes to demeanor, obviously I'm not talking about skill and talent, and people always get this fucking mixed up. I'm not talking about skill and talent. I'm just talking about like demeanor and attitude. When it comes to like demeanor and attitude, like me and Russ, we damn near the same people. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Facts.
We down to the same place. It was like I had a friend that like I didn't even know I had in the league.
As you all just heard, Pat Bev had to take off and run to his bus with the team, which I totally understand. As a professional guy, I know he's a guy that's never late. Although, give him a little crap, he was late for the show. But obviously, he was with the team. Nonetheless, he had to run to his bus. But my question was, how did Russell Westbrook showing up at his press conference impact him? And the answer cut out, and I wish we could have got the full answer. Maybe one day we will get the full answer. But how did that impact him? Because one thing, and Russ catches a lot of flack, one thing I've always heard about him from just about anybody that has ever played with him is he one of the best teammates they've ever had. And him showing up to that press conference when Patrick Beverly was introduced, says a lot about Russell Westbrook, the basketball player, but it says more about Russell Westbrook, the man that is constantly disrespected. But it says more about the man. You're talking a guy who I think their beef first originated when Pat Bev went for the steal and he's calling timeout and Russ hurt his knee. And the battles constant battles and Pat chirping and Russ chirping and they getting into it. And then they end up on the same team. They're saying Russ is going to get traded, and what does Pat Bev coming to the Lakers now mean for Russ? They're going to move on, and that man showed up to the press conference. I know most people will ignore that. I know most media will ignore that, but the new media, we won't ignore that. That's incredible. It says everything that it should about Russell Westbrook, and so I just wanted to hear what that did for Pat Bev. So you'll get a snippet of it. We got a snippet of it. He had to run, but it was great. I have this line of you meet your hero in life. Like, it's better to not meet your hero. Whoever your hero is, it's better to not meet your hero, because if you have a hero and you meet them and say, it could be a bad day. Like, they could be the nicest person in the world. They could always be willing to speak or sign an autograph. And you know, that day, you know, when I'm with my kids, I try not to sign autographs. I feel like I'm away from them all the time. Not all the time, but, you know, when I'm on the road or anywhere you go, it's like, you know, people want your attention. But for me, when I'm with my kids, I want to give my kids all of my attention. And I don't think it's fair for them for me to have to answer to other things because of who I am. Like, no, they deserve time with their dad, and so I'm going to give them that. However, what I have to understand is one of my biggest pet peeves is when you meet your hero and they're not really a hero. And what do I mean by that? Like, they don't give you that feeling that you thought you would get if you ever met your hero. They don't show you the attention that you would have wanted. And I can honestly say, sometimes it's very situational. But I said all of that to say it's when you meet someone, or, you know, in this case, I didn't meet Pat Bev, but having the opportunity to talk to Pat Bev, and they are exactly what you've grown to believe they are, or even more than that, is absolutely incredible. And what I just had the honor and pleasure of listening to, what you all just had the honor and pleasure of listening to, I hope you appreciated it, and I hope you really took everything away from it. And this interview is for more than just basketball players. This interview is for somebody who's hungry. This segment of the show, this is for somebody who down on their luck and don't really know if it's possible to get back up. Because what you just witnessed is a guy who, again, had a baby freshman year, had another baby second year, on his way getting kicked out of school, don't get a call, making ends meet, gets a call to go to second division in Ukraine. 2 years before that, that guy was averaging 38 points a game in Chicago. Chicago ain't like, Chicago is real basketball. This isn't like he was playing in the middle of nowhere. This is Chicago, Illinois, a hotbed for basketball. You're talking Isaiah Thomas, Antoine Walker, Anthony Davis. Kevin Garnett went to his last year of high school in Chicago. And the list goes on and on and on. Shannon Brown. The list, and you're just talking great hoopers. Like, Sharon Collins was incredible. Jacob Pullen, incredible. Like, when you're talking hoopers, Chicago has hoopers. This man was averaging 38 points a game just 2 years before that. And he's in the second division in Ukraine. The mental toughness that you have to go through that, to get through that, to then get here, and then get all the way where he is. Over the years, I've continued to gain more and more respect for Pat Bev. And after this interview, I have even more respect. Just his grind, his hustle. And I tell you what, with what he brings to the team and what the energy that he brings and how him and Russ' energy is going to match up, and with Bron and AD, like I said before, I'm not counting the Lakers out. You'd be crazy if you count them out. But man, thanks to Pat Bev for giving us that gold that he just gave us. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Listen to it again, and listen to it again. Take it to your job. If you're in leadership position at your job, give an assignment to those that you're leading, and that's to listen to that, because it was absolutely amazing. You can't get that many places, but you can get it here on the Draymond Green Show. Thanks to Pat Bev. That's a wrap on this episode. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
got Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.